Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of Heaven, Kingdom of God, same thing, and His righteousness. And we were going to talk specifically, we're going to finish up our talks. We've done 2 hours already today on healing, power of healing. Christ was healing people just miraculously, giving sight to the blind and making the lame walk and assumedly raising the dead. Sounds pretty fantastic. We have all kinds of healers wandering around today. Some of them in private jets and limousines and living in multi-million dollar mansions and collecting lots of money. They will take a check or credit card and they'll heal you. And they make a big show out of it. And that's what it is. It's a big show. Most of that healing, the vast majority of that healing you see being done on TV, or you can actually find little storefronts where guys have these little churches and they have people come in and they go through the whole thing there. It's fake. It's absolutely fake. It's not healing like Christ was doing at all. Now, there is a real healing, but it's not what they're doing. They're doing the fake thing. There were guys like Simon Magnus, who was a great magician, healer supposedly even. And he saw this power that the apostles had, and he wanted that. He wanted them to lay hands on him and give him that power. He wanted that power. He had power, but it wasn't that power. It was a different kind of power. It's the power that you see in most of these churches. Because, see, most of these churches are not churches established by Jesus Christ. They're not doing what Jesus said, and you can tell by their fruits. Because we've had Christian churches throughout this country for the last 200 years, 300 years, 400 years. And while we had a semblance of freedom in this country, it was a great nation rising up, prosperous. It is now in utter bondage, absolute utter bondage. But, you know, if you read Lycurgus and people like that we quote in the book, The Covenants of the Gods, we show you that it has always been the plan. The how do you enslave the people but make them think they're still free? And one of the ways is license and gifts, gratuities, and benefits, and all kinds of things like that. They're going to give you health care, like that's going to make you live longer. But it's actually breaking people. People had insurance before, they took care of their medical bills, and now with the new health care, they can't afford insurance. It's just way out of their reach. And the insurance they have doesn't pay for half of what the other one used to pay for. And it's only a matter of time. Then you're going to see more and more euthanasia. You already see it in many of the socialist countries in Europe. And euthanasia is actually going on in America today on a regular basis. I've been working in convalescent homes and been in hospitals for over, 40 years ago. And they don't even know they're doing it. But they have policies and drugs that they start giving the elderly, guarantees to shorten their life. Guarantees. And I can show you. It's just, I could probably pick up their chart and show you what's going on. And why elderly are dying when they are dying. Now there's a lot of people who live longer, and that's one of the problems, that they have to do something about that. They've got all these things that can help you survive this and survive that, but then you start costing them money and they're bankrupt. Then there's the fact that when you get a bill from the hospital that seems like astronomical and the insurance took care of it all, but did the insurance pay the amount you saw? No, they don't. They've got it worked out, so you see this huge, gigantic amount. Insurance companies actually going to pay way less. There are doctors now who will not take any insurance. They will just take care of you, and you pay. And they can charge way less if you pay up front. because they don't mess with the bookkeeping and they don't get shorted by the insurance company. Because insurance companies have deals where they don't pay that full amount. If you don't have insurance, you have to pay that full amount. Unless, of course, you're a part of the network at His Holy Church, and we'll teach you how to negotiate that bill down to half, down to a third, down to a quarter of what it was. We can even, if you're in good standing, we can pay the bill for you, and you just pay the church back whenever you can. We'll trust you for it. I mean, you don't have to pay us back because it's not a loan. It's you know, we live by faith. We have faith and we have hope that you will refund that money so that we can help the next person. If you don't, we won't have the money to help the next person. But we trust. And, of course, if we find ourselves helping you and then you don't help out, then evidently you don't love your neighbor as yourself. And then we know, hey, there's no point in helping them. They're not, their fruits show that they're not really faithful Christians. They're not contributing. They don't care about other people who have the same problems as they did. You see, and so, and we know the individuals because they're all intimate congregations. And that's the way it used to be in communities. People knew who really needed help and helped them. But we were going to talk about actually healing. But in truth, following the ways of Christ sets you up for receiving that healing. We talked about you're the temple of the Holy Spirit and things get into you. Trauma, anxiety, fear, hatred, judgment. All these things get inside of you and they tense you up and they block the Holy Spirit, because you got all these demons in you. You know, the demon of impatience and the demon of self-righteousness. And that draws actual demons in the universe to you. Like I said, like flies to dead meat, because you're like them. They are drawn to you. And then they want to take a bite out of you, because that's the nature of their world, the nature of their kingdom. Their kingdom is one of dominating, of taking a bite out of one another, of devouring one another. And of course, we see the same enticing offer coming in the Old Testament, where they said, let's build us a city, and, you know, like a cauldron, we will be the flesh in that pot, in that cauldron. And they devour one another, which is why Galatians says, you know, be careful not to bite one another, lest ye be devoured. But of course, that spirit has been around from the beginning. Dog eat dog. It is the way of hell. Now, the way of Christ is different. You lay down your life so that others will have life more abundant, and they all gather together with you because they want to lay down their life that you have life more abundant, because all those people who actually do love their neighbor as themselves are drawn to each other. And that's in this physical world, but also in the spiritual world. You're drawn towards the angels of God, the servants of God, and they are drawn towards you. And so they will try to minister to you within the law. The same as the devil would minister to you if you're drawn towards him. So you need the character of Christ. When you don't have the character of Christ, you will be drawn towards the dark side, towards the evil, and the evil will be drawn towards you. And it will gain power over you, and it will rule over you, and it will destroy you. Because that's the nature of evil. It's a dog-eat-dog realm. Take a bite out of one another realm. And of course, we look out in the world and we see that happening in, you know, in the Middle East, and, you know, with all the ISIS and all these guys, you know, beheading people, throwing acid on young girls because they happen to wander into their area, and, you know, and they're Christians, or beating Christians to death, and decapitating them, raping them. You know, all the Muslim women cover up with their burqas in countries like Norway and Sweden and European countries. They cover up because, you know, a woman shouldn't expose herself because she tempts the man. Who's doing all the raping in these countries? You go look at the statistics. It's these immigrant Muslims. Now, does that mean all Muslims rape? No, obviously not. Some Muslims are really good. Most of the people who are Muslims in a lot of these countries, you know, you go to a country and it's all Muslim, like, and most of those people are all Muslims because Muslims attacked that country maybe 5 centuries ago or 10 centuries ago and murdered everybody who wouldn't become a Muslim. And so everybody became a Muslim. So they're just Muslims because their fathers were Muslims, their grandfathers were Muslims. And they're not necessarily oppressing their wives or oppressing women and beating up people and beheading people. They're just trying to make a living and take care of their family. And they believe in God, and the only God they know about is the Muslim God. And if you try to change, that you get killed. And so they're Muslim. So you can't just go around and say, let's kill all Muslims. But there's a spirit rising up in the world, and it was in communism, and it's also going to be in this, the movement of what we always want to call it, radical Muslim. And it shows that the world is not healthy. Society is not healthy. Something is sick already. And that's why people are also sick. That's why we see pandemic disease, you know, gastrointestinal disease. Now, if you look for a physical cause, you may say, oh, look, GMOs were introduced and we started having all this gastrointestinal problem. Overuse of antibiotics has caused super strains of bacteria to be introduced into the system. And so we have all kinds of problems there. But what you're looking at, the physical cause and effect, are actually symptoms of something that's going on greater, that is a spiritual battle that is manifesting itself in physical ways. Well, this happens in society and in nations and the world in general, but it also happens in you. You're a microcosm of the whole world. There's billions of people in the world, and there's billions of cells in your body. What are those cells aligning themselves with? Spirit of God, spirit of giving life, spirit of forgiveness, spirit of giving. Or is your whole body filled up with billions of cells that are selfish? You know, that's where cancer comes from. Now, I'm not saying everybody gets cancer is selfish, but there's a groundwork that's taking place that you're going to be poisoning yourself. And the evidence of that is you look out in society and people are poisoning one another out in society. So how do you get to the point where you can actually heal like Jesus? For one thing, Jesus didn't heal. That's right, Jesus didn't heal. Now, that's a shocker statement. I'm playing with the words there. Jesus always said, your faith saved you. That's what he said, your faith saved you. He didn't say, I healed you, and now you can go on your way. No, he was always giving the Father credit and their faith. Without their faith, there would be no healing. It's absolutely required. And so I went through, as you know, somebody had sent me a website about somebody who does healing, and they sent this website, 10 hallmarks, you know, it's floating around on the net, on Facebook and stuff, 10 hallmarks of an authentic healer or teacher. And they list them all off. And it says, understanding there is a sacred trust between the student and the teacher. Well, if certainly there was a sacred trust between Jesus Christ and those who came to him and believed in him. But really, he was always pointing to the Father. So the real sacred trust is between them and the Father. He says, your faith has saved you. Faith just in me, or no, faith in the Father. They knew Jesus because he was like the Father. He had the character of the Father. He walked in the ways of the Father. But you know, the apostles were with him every day, and they didn't know that he was even the Messiah until way late. You know, when he says, who am I, who am I, who am I? I mean, a lot of times it's written in the Bible as if we know from the beginning, but they didn't know. Even John the Baptist sent his, you know, part of his network to Jesus to say, are you the one? Whoa, didn't John the Baptist know? Didn't he say, this is the one that come after me whose sandals I am not worthy to, you know, fasten or to loose? Yeah, but he didn't know he was the Messiah. He knew he was the one to come after him in this network. I mean, what was John the Baptist doing? Just running around in old clothes, you know, and cold, you know, camel skin hair and eating a strange diet? No, he was forming a network. You'd get baptized. They were forming a network to take care of the needy of society in faith, hope, and charity. That's what they were doing, and there's all kinds of evidence, and we have all kinds of articles that show you what they were doing, as opposed to what John the Baptist, I mean, that Herod was doing. Because he was setting up a way to take care of the needy too, but his way was the Corban that made the Word of God did not affect. But Jesus comes along, we don't hear anything about John the Baptist healing people, but Jesus comes along and people are seemingly miraculously healed. And people go to these preachers and they think they're miraculously healed. And I dropped a couple of names. You can go look at YouTube's on the subject. One guy who used to be a healer, learned to be a healer, thought he was healing. He actually thought he was. And then he realized that this is techniques, tricks. That I'm actually manipulating what people think. I'm not really healing people. There's no organic healing going on. And there wasn't in his case. But he was honest enough to admit it. And now he preaches about it. His name is Mark Havile. H-A-V-I-L-L-E. Just look him up on YouTube. Mark Havile. And you'll find out that he says that these are tricks. It's hypnosis. And unfortunately, a lot of people are doing it for money and for profit. And that, you don't want that. And it's actually hurting people. But then also gave another name, Darren Brown, Miracles for Sale. He has an interesting YouTube. You can go listen to that. And he trained a scuba diver instructor to go out and become a faith healer. And they did it to show how easy it is and how fake it is. And he taught them how to hypnotize people individually and crowds and get them to say anything that you want. And the guy got good at it. He went out on the street practicing these skills. And everybody was saying, oh, you've healed me, you've healed me. And everybody thought they were better. And it was completely, a learned, fake mind manipulation. The interesting thing is when they actually went and visited people who think they're faith healers, some of them know they're charlatans, they were doing the exact same things. Exact, and no, hardly any variety. It's fake. It's not the healing you want. Now, we also explained how there can be some healing going on, because, especially with somebody like Mark Havile, because of the fact that he actually did care about people, which we see in the fact that he revealed that he discovered that these are actually just techniques and I'm manipulating people. I'm not really healing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that Holy Spirit cannot heal? No, absolutely not. But it operates in a different way. It's kind of like an oxen herbicide. I didn't ever make this analogy before, but I'll do that now. 2,4-D, 2,4-5-T and stuff. What they do is they mimic a hormone, which is necessary for growth. They're not the hormone. They won't work as the hormone. But the plant thinks that it has produced the hormone and that hormone is present, so it doesn't produce that hormone, and so it doesn't do what it needs to do. And so the plant dies. It's actually a poison that kills the plant because it makes the plant think that it is okay, it's getting better, it's produced the hormones that it needs, but it hasn't, and the plant dies. That's what oxen herbicides do. That's what these faith healers are doing. That's what most of the churches are doing. They're making the people think that they're saved, they're okay, and that they don't need a doctor, they don't need to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so people don't, and they die. They go into bondage. They're overthrown as individuals. And they die. And so we need to expose that. But most people do not want to see it. They're not going to want to see it. You can show them right to their face and they don't want to see it. After the scuba diver instructor confessed to the people that he was duping, many of them didn't believe it. They believed he really was a healer because they wanted to. So, anyway, that's your homework. You can go look those up. Guys like Kenneth, Max, Copeland, all fake. All just to get rich. And I actually saved this for this show because I have a different audience here than I do in the morning shows. Some are different. We send out notices to the network so they can come on. But we're going to talk about the Large Hadron Collider and what that has to do with good health. So we'll take a look at that too in the second part of the show, but we got a little bit more time, so we're going to run through real quick these things that they say that are hallmarks of a good healer. And it says understanding there is a sacred trust between student and teacher. Well, there is a trust, and you know, it's taken me a long time with some people to help them, because it actually took me 2 years to build up the trust with a person so I could go in there and beat the tar out of them emotionally and spiritually so that we could break the bonds. But then in that process, I also learned how to actually push back in this process, which is, I mean, this is like sweating blood. I mean, not only did we have to spend hours and hours with that individual, when we weren't with them, we had to really fast and pray in order to deal with the problems that were all around them. And we've had this for years where we've been bringing in people a little at a time. Just had a meeting today with somebody about building a larger facilities to house people, not going to be fancy, so that we can bring in people and help them, but not so that we can be some kind of cult, bring in people and make them dependent upon us. We're going to send them back out again with this gospel of the kingdom, the real gospel of the kingdom. And if they go back out and become the servants of Christ, not go out and satisfy their own lusts and their own, and you can do that a lot of different ways. You know, you don't have to go out and head to Reno. You can just kind of forget about being that servant, you know, and got to get caught up in the world. The world's very good at getting you caught up. But if you actually follow the ways of Christ and really start being that servant, then more blessings will come to you. Because when you go back out in the world, it's like we gave you a talent or two talents or three talents. Now you take that, and what are you going to do with that? And it's not about preaching or talking, because it's not flesh and blood that reveals this. It's about being, and then that reveals it. So, second thing in the list. Meet you where you are. Well, yeah, they'll meet you where you are, but they will not accept the wrong in you. They will be patient, but they will not accept that, you know, you're okay, whatever you're right. And when you go on and read some of these other things, you'll see what I'm talking about. Number three, does not make you wrong. Well, I don't make you wrong, but if you're wrong, I'm going to let you know about it. You know, I'll tolerate a lot of stuff because I'm trying to get down to the real nitty-gritty. A wise one will intuit, he says, or she says, where it is you are seeking to go, and gently nurture you there without condemning. No, as many as I love, I also rebuke. They're not nurturing you where you want to go. They're going to nurture you to go the right way, the way of Christ. Now, you can go or not, but they're a real healer is not in the business of helping you do whatever you want. It's helping you doing what you should be doing. That's just the way it is. Number four, will not take away, but will add to. Well, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything would be added unto you. And that's true. But he came to take away the sins of the world. He's not going to let you just stay the way you are. You have to change. I mean, that's what repentance is. It's changing the way you think. Change the way you think, it's going to be changing the way you do things. But this individual who's supposedly telling you all about the signs of a healer, there will be no attempt to talk you out of what you believe or take it away. Absolutely, there will be attempts to talk you out of it, show you what is right. But it'll be in principle. It won't necessarily be specifics. You'll still have to make choices because they don't want to take choice away from you. They just want to lay out the choices that you have and why you should make one over the other. The specifics are up to you. Generality, no, they will try to talk you out of sin, talk you out of deception. But they'll just talk. They're not going to force you. What's happened is the church hasn't been doing its job. Now everybody is forced to contribute to the welfare of the needy, and they do no more odd, even for their own parents, because the government's supposed to do it. Okay, number five, empowers you towards self-sovereignty. No, they don't. Now, people used to be what we call sovereign, which is only sovereign over yourself. It's not like a sovereign or a king is sovereign over other people. So the word sovereignty is kind of deceptive because it means lawmaker, and God already made the laws. You're not lawmaker. When you try to make yourself a lawmaker, you actually are falling to the sin of Adam. You're going to decide for yourself what is right and wrong. But what they empower you is the right to make a choice. Because God gave you a right to make a choice, and they want to empower you to have that right. And what's the choice? The choice is, my will or thine. Do what God says or do your own thing. God withholds his power and allows you choice. You don't have choice unless God withholds his power, because he gave you life and created you. Withholds his power. That's just the way it works. Now, why does he do that? To see if you will withhold your power to make a choice and do what God wants instead. See? That's the way it works. God withholds his wills to give you the right to choose to do his will. Without that, there is no choice. And so the healers that are working with God in Christ, they are going to want to empower you too. They will make terrible cult leaders. The absolutely terrible cult leaders. But we're about halfway through the show, so we'll take a break. We've got five more of these 10 items, and we'll look at them, and then we'll get into the information about really what, how do you tap into spiritual healing. Right after the break, we'll talk about that. Be right back. Okay, so welcome back. So we're going to talk about number six in this list of how to tell if it's a healer. And this list is a bad list. But by looking at that, maybe we can get in closer to see what really is important to be a conduit of the healing force or creative force of God. How do we tap into that? Well, let's look at six before we answer that question. Provides self-help and healing tools. Well, there are some things. Sometimes people, a lot of their health problems are related to posture, things that they do, diet. These things are become burdens on the body. I mean, it's kind of like you're going to try to explain something to a drunk. He's drunk. You need to sober him up before you talk to him. And he can't understand what you're saying because he's so drunk. Somebody weighs 400, 500 pounds, and you want them to start exercising, you know, running a quarter mile. Well, they're not going to do it. You got to lose some of that weight first. So, you know, they are going to show you things that you can do. Well, the same token, what should you be doing in order to have the healing power of Christ, which actually gave life, restored limbs, restored the sight of men who have been blind since birth? Now, if you look at that that Darren Brown video, he shows how they brought in somebody who was legally blind, and they were legally blind, and they make you think that they actually gave them sight back because they began to see things. Well, they could see those things before. And they might even imagine that they can see them better. That's what hypnosis can do. But Jesus took somebody who was completely blind and restored his sight. But he also said that he came to take away sight from those who say they see. Christ was bringing judgment, but how did that work? How did the healing work? How did the judgment work? Well, they're actually the same thing. Same power is at work in both cases. So how do you become a conduit for that power? Okay, we're going to get there. Number 7, sees you as already healed. Well, only if you are already healed. When Christ was asked about the individual, which we gave an example of in the original shows, is this man crippled because of his parents' sin or because of his sin? And Jesus said neither. Well, the guy was crippled because of sin. That's how disease came into the world. But it may not have been his sin, or may have been his parents, may have been his grandparents' sin, and may have been his neighbor's sin. Maybe his neighbor came over and broke his legs. Who knows? But his injury was the result of a discord in nature and that sin. Sin is missing the mark. But that man may have already repented in his heart, but he had not yet realized the healing. Like the woman who had been sick for years until the doctors got all her money. But she began to hear Christ, and she knew that if I just touch his garment, I would be healed. She's already making choices. She's already repenting in her heart, but she needs help with her unbelief. And Christ was that help because he was doing things that was going to help people believe. And saying things that were going to help people believe. I don't know how many times people have said, you know, I knew that, but nobody ever said it to me. But when you say it, now I get it. I'm not teaching people new things. I'm teaching them what they can now recognize. And yes, I'll give facts and information. But that facts and information, that's to help people with their unbelief. It's not going to give you faith. Not real faith. So, yeah, it's not about positive thinking. It's about really repenting. Number 8, recognizes you as being their teacher or healer too. Well, I will admit that almost everybody who comes here that we help, and fortunately it's often been one at a time, they have taught me something. And I don't know that I helped all of them. Some of them needed so much help you couldn't hardly tell the difference. But they helped me because they helped me see something. You know, that's always when God sends somebody else here. I think, okay, what does this individual have to teach me? And sure enough, there's some important lessons in all of them. Number 9, does not say they are great teachers or healers. Well, of course, Christ did not say he was a great teacher or healer, although he did say things like, I am the light, I am the way. But he was always saying, your faith has saved you, is the Father in heaven, he serves, he's praying to the Father in heaven, and he's sweating blood for other people, that they might be saved. He was humble. Yeah, but now you look at some of those faith healers. Oh, they'll say those things, but man, the way they live is ridiculous. They're out for your money. They're not trying to cure you. Number 10, will not make themselves appear to be perfect. Well, they can fake, yeah, they can be very proud of their humility too. Certainly, I know I'm not perfect. But I'm not really a healer. I've seen people healed by appearing me just touching them. But that's not, you know, I didn't do it. I didn't even know it was going to happen. I was just led to, you know, do certain things. And I did those things. And there was a shift. And there was a change. I mean, just miraculous. Also, other things, you know, saving, you know, people in situations. You know, there's actually a little video on the internet where they show, in all the cases, some of them, the fathers are really stupid, but, you know, where babies are falling or slipping or rolling down the hill, and the fathers just show up and miraculously save the day with quick reflexes. But I've seen the power of the Spirit working where it wasn't a matter of reflexes, because the individual didn't even see what was happening, just knew to do it, knew what to put in their pocket, knew what to show up with, knew don't go there, don't open that. They just knew. How did they know? They just knew. Something told them, and they were listening to it. How many times do you do that? You don't even know how many times you do that. But one of the problems is, how many times don't you do that? Okay, so how do you get the power to heal? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. So what does that look like? What does it look like to seek the kingdom of God? Is for the living, not for the dead. It's right now. It's at hand. What does the kingdom of God look like that's different than what you're doing now? What all the churches out there are doing now, most all of them. The kingdom of God were people that were bound together by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. Not by contracts, covenants, or constitutions. They were bound together, and they came together because they were learning how to care about one another. Israelites did this. The early Israelites did this. And they did it because famine came. They were trapped in Egypt. God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh, and they had to take care of one another. And the Pharaoh wasn't going to help them anymore. Matter of fact, there's evidence that if you went to the Pharaoh just to help with, like, say, a birth, that his doctors might be working like Planned Parenthood to terminate the pregnancy. And this is what they were trying to do. They were trying to cause abortions so that people didn't have children. They were trying to talk you out of having your kid. And they had made laws that would put great burdens on a family that had a lot of kids. They don't have to do that now. Birth rate is plummeting. In America, in Europe, the cultures are dying out. And the governments know that they cannot sustain the social welfare systems without more people coming in, so they're bringing in more people. Why is the birth rate plummeting? Because you don't need family. Why do you need family? Jesus, God said, be fruitful and multiply. Why do you need that? Because you need to take care of others, and that starts in the family. Taking care of children, having 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids. A lot of work, a lot of sacrifice required to do that, especially if you're not going to collect welfare. You're not going to, you know, borrow money against the future. That service required to take care of that family, that puts you on the road to becoming a healer. That starts. But the kingdom of God is not just a family. It's many families gathered together. How do you do that? You go to a church where there's 1,000 families. How many of those people do you know? How many of those people? I mean, there are people in those churches that go to those churches. They could go home and die and never come back again and sit in their apartment and rot. And you won't know about it. Nobody else in the church will know about it. But the church is supposed to be taking care of all the social welfare of the people of the church, all the social insurance. You know, if you were doing what Christians were doing in the first century, you'd be exempt from Obamacare. You wouldn't even need to buy insurance. You wouldn't need to. You'd just go to church. And you would do it cheaper, more efficiently, more lovingly. Your families would begin to become bigger. And those of you who, you know, didn't have children, you would be helping, attaching yourselves to other family, helping them homeschool, helping them, their kids get into business. And you'd get on their Christmas card, if they had a Christmas card. But the point is that you would become a part of their family. Because you were helping their family. It's hard if you have 4, 5, 6 kids. You need to come together and help one another. If you're done having kids, well, then you'd be helping your kids and their grandkids. My wife's down helping one of our daughter and her husband, because they both have to go somewhere for work, and so she's taking care of the kids. You know, as long as we don't have to do it every day. Because we got lots of grandkids. That's the way it works. That giving of yourself, laying down your time today, this evening, tomorrow, starts the flow of the energy of God in you. If you are taking a bite out of one another, the flow of God's energy is not going to go through you. So the only energy you have to heal with is animal energy, what you get from eating plants and other animals. That's not the power that Christ is working for. You want the power of Christ that comes from the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, this realm of righteousness. You have to live a righteous life. You have to live a righteous life. You cannot save yourself with a thought. You have to repent and live that righteous life. And automatically, mysteriously, quantumly, metaphysically, you will be drawn towards the realm of righteousness from which life has come. The creative force of life has come. Now, if you're selfish, if you're judgmental, if you're angry, if you're bitter, you're going to be drawn towards the other realm, the dog-eat-dog realm of hell. And it's going to be worse for you, because you're going to get closer to that, influenced more by those ways. You're going to have to cover that up, so you're going to have to create dark spots in your mind, because you don't want to see the wickedness that you do, the selfishness that you do, because you want to think of yourself as good. And so you're not going to look at that. You're going to create dark spots in your mind and in your heart, and you will not hear the wisdom of God. You will hear the temptations of evil. Well, go ahead. You did this already. Go now, do this. And it draws you more and more into a realm of dog-eat-dog. And that's why you see whole areas of the world today growing up murdering people, teaching their young how to murder people, raping, pillaging. I mean, the greatest Holocaust the world has known is on the verge, on your doorsteps. And you have no defense. This has happened before. But never like it's going to happen, but it's happened before. And actually involved, you know, Muhammad. Muhammad, you know, he couldn't get anywhere preaching. You know, and he moves from Mecca to Medina and he gets this idea. And he actually gets kicked out of there, and he gets, you know, to rob and steal, plunder the caravans. And he starts getting more and more people. And he learns how to build this whole army of people. You know, within a year or two, he's killing everybody who doesn't bow down to him in Medina and Mecca. And he starts this movement where you are blessed because you kill people. You can kill the men and enslave the women. Enslave the children. Rape the women. That's okay. You can do that. That's what he teaches. You know, and so that's on your doorstep. And Europe is being invaded as we speak. Huge numbers of those refugees. And there are refugees that we need to help. And they may be Muslim or Christian, or you think they're Muslim or Christian. Doesn't matter. You need to know who they are, who you're going to help. But the people in government aren't going to be able to know. because they're part of the problem. You go back when they were invading these armies that came up in 600 AD and in the different times and invaded North Africa and into Spain, and they taxed everybody who didn't join their religion and raped people and stole from people and persecuted people and murdered people by the thousands, by the millions in Armenia, wherever, Indonesia, everywhere. And then converted people to their religion, which is really a geopolitical religion. It's not really a religion or philosophy. It's more than that. This is because the society was already unhealthy, because there was a false Christianity that had been preached since 300 AD. Many of the Christians were false Christians. They had some of the ideas, but they just added water. They didn't repent. They weren't living a life of sacrifice and service one for another. They had gotten away from the ways of Christ just a little bit. Then they got a little more and a little more. Well, they got away from the kingdom of heaven. They didn't have the power of the kingdom of heaven. And these armies that came in just defeated them one after another. And you can say, oh, because they invented the stirrup and because they had the scimitar and because of their battle tactics and their numbers and the other people couldn't get organized. But the reality was is because we'd strayed from the ways of Christ. So how can you heal the land, heal yourself, heal your neighbor? All these things, you cannot do one without the other. And what do you have to do? You have to repent, to think another way. Not accumulate wealth for yourself, but put your invest in the kingdom of God. Form a network of people who really want to work and serve. They don't want to have million-dollar mansions and fly around in private jets and have limousines and a million-dollar pension. They want to work and serve every day. They get up and they try to figure out how they can help people and strengthen people, strengthen the poor. This is what they have to do. We need an army of dedicated ministers supported by a super army of dedicated congregants who love each other as much as they love themselves, love each other's children as much as they love. See, in your world, you want your benefit now, and you don't mind making your neighbor and your neighbor's grandchildren and great-grandchildren pay for what you want now. People complain about the government's fiscal responsibilities. They keep going to the government for benefits. Where is their fiscal responsibility? You are not living by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. I can't teach you how to heal your neighbor, even if I could. Until you are healed of your greed, of your covetousness, of your sloth, of your avarice, you need to get serious about your faith. And that faith needs to be the faith of Christ who came to serve, not be served. You need to gather in a church that comes to serve others in a way that strengthens them, like Abraham, like Moses, like Jesus Christ, like John the Baptist. They took care of all the social welfare needs with faith, hope, and charity. The church, in general, people claiming to be the church, they don't do that anymore. They have a little token charity here and there. Well, how about a little token salvation? That's all you're going to get, token salvation. You're going to be overrun by armies, by murderers, by violence at every turn. And you have nothing to protect you because you've abandoned the ways of Christ. Now, if you become that conduit of righteousness, you will draw closer to the realm of heaven. And the powers that are in heaven will flow through you. And just walking up, whether it's one individual possessed by demons or a mob of 200 men who are full of hate and anger and want to kill everybody around them. You know, they're just looking for trouble, setting buildings on fire and everything. You walk onto the street and they will stop. They will be stunned. The evil that was in them, that was driving them and making them do these terrible things, will flee. And they will not be able to act anymore. They'll just stop. And it's not you that's doing it. It's because you're walking in the kingdom. The kingdom is here right now. But you're not walking in the ways of the kingdom. You're walking in the ways of hell. You're taking a bite out of one another. I cannot teach you how to heal spiritually. God can't teach you how to heal spiritually. It cannot be even revealed to you unless you begin to walk in His ways. And as you walk in His ways, He'll give you 2 talents. And then 3 talents and 5 talents. And greater things than you can even imagine you will be able to do. But it won't be you doing them. It will be the power of God working through you. But if you're going to insist upon being slothful and covetous, you're not going to have the power to heal like that. You're just going to have to go down to the fake healers or give everything you have to the doctors or to the insurance companies, because nothing's going to save you. And guess what? At the end of all that, you're going to be dead anyway. And guess what? When you die close to the realm of hell, that's where you go. If you die close to the realm of heaven, that's where you'll go. That's just the way it works. Now, what about the collider in the last few minutes of the show? What is that collider doing? That gigantic collider up there that they've got running, that they're putting millions and millions of dollars into. The Large Hadron Collider, and it's not the only one, but it's a big one, is the world's largest and most powerful particle accelerator. It first started up on the 10th of September 2008. Didn't we have a big depression in 2008? And remains the latest addition to CERN's accelerator complex. The LHC consists of 27-kilometer ring of superconductors and magnets with a number of accelerating structures to boost the energy of the particles along the way. Inside the accelerator, there are 2 high-energy particle beams, on and on and on. I don't know if we have time for all of this. But, these are superconductors, so they're chilling these magnets down to like minus 271 degrees, and they're accelerating energy through this, and then causing collisions, involving liquid helium, etc., etc. They have over 1,000 dipole magnets, 15 meters in length, which bend the beam. And, there's a lot more to it. But the point is that they're seeing energy going from realm to realm. They're seeing energy come into the realm that we're in. And they see energy disappearing and then coming back. And so they're actually trying to open up a door to those other realms. That's what they're actually trying to do. They have no idea what they're up to. And there's all kinds of stuff on that. But there are other doorways in the universe, and there are things coming into them. This is why you see this rise in violence, and you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. It's going to get way worse. And I'm not trying to scare you, but maybe I am a little bit, to get you motivated. You need to put on the full armor of God. You need that power of healing, but you need that power of God. Because you see, that power of His love is what heals, but it's also the power of His love that is like hot coals on the head of the enemies of God. They can't say it. It's like you're breathing hellfire in their direction. And you're probably not very good at that right now. I'm just guessing. But the point is that you have gone so far away from the kingdom that you are in absolute utter danger. You are living in by grace alone. And it's going to get worse. You need to turn around, repent, and start doing what Christ did, what Christ was telling His apostles to do, what the early church was doing. You start needing to form a network of people, not based on buildings or some denominational theology, but based on the simplicity of Christ's gospel, where you actually come together to actually love and care for one another as much as you love and care for yourself. And then you're going to find out what that love really means. And you're just going to wake up one day, and the power of healing will pass through you to other people. But also the power of the fire of God will pass through you to the enemy. And they'll go down from one house to the next, raiding everything on your street. And when they come to your house, they'll say, well, let's just go to the next house. Because there'll be something that is uncomfortable for them in your house. But now in the early days, they're actually looking for you now. So repent. So anyway, we're out of time. And that's giving you a little insight into how to become a conduit of the healing power of God, as well as the fire of God that can burn up altars and military might and everything else. And if you want to know more, join us and the His Holy Church and the Living Network at Preparing You. And we'll start seeking the kingdom together. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.